Tonight we're wearing merit for the Queen Mother, passed away 7 days ago. So we offer her a meditation, which means you want to meditate well. Think of this as a gift you're offering to her. And when you offer a gift, of course, you want to do something good. Nicely wrapped on the outside and something good on the inside. So sit up straight, hands in your lap, eyes closed. And try to make the mind one with the breath, because the mind, when it's one, is of high value. It's not like the things of the world. But the more you have, the greater number you have, the more value you have. Here's where you have greater value when the mind is one, because the more it follows around its many different thoughts, it's lowering itself. The value is less. Although you could compare it to a durian in a market. If there's only one durian in the market, it's going to have a really high price. If there are lots of durians, sometimes they have no price at all. They get thrown away. So make your mind one. And it's part of the motivation. You want to think about the goodness of the Queen Mother. She supported Rama IX in his many activities to help the nation. There are pictures of her going out into the jungle with him, crossing over streams, walking down hikes, walking down trails that were really difficult. Not your usual queen. Of course, he was not your usual king. And in addition to his many projects that she supported, she had projects of her own to help people. One that was especially of note was they would send doctors and dentists out to the very poor parts of the country. And if someone could be treated within one day or so, then they'd get treatment. If their illnesses were more serious, they would be brought into Bangkok. She set up a dormitory so that those who had to go to hospital would then have a place to rest and recover after they came out of the hospital before they had to go home. And before they were sent home, she sent people over to ask them about their manual skills. Skills in weaving, skills in other artisans' activities. And if she found people who were really skilled in this way, she would have them trained in the royal versions of those skills. For instance, if you're good at weaving vines, they had courses in weaving silver thread and gold thread, making things not only for the palace, but also things to sell. She set up a series of stores. She also thought of ways of using traditional skills to make items that were more stylish, more up-to-date. And she herself would advertise these things by wearing them. There's a certain vine down in the southern part of Thailand that was very tough. It was used to make baskets that lasted for a long time. Well, she had them used to make pocketbooks, purses, which then she herself would use, and that became a style which became very popular. So the people out in the countryside had new sources for income. So she wasn't an ordinary queen. She supported the king in his many activities, and she endured a lot of hardships in helping him. So think about that as you meditate and dedicate it to her. One of my favorite stories of the Queen, several have to do with the John Sawat. After John Fun passed away, the Queen noticed a John Sawat. He was dealing with the people in the palace over the funeral for a John Fun, and then the construction of a museum in honor of a John Fun. And she and the King would stay in their palace for the northeast, and every now and then she just show up unannounced at John Sawat's monastery. He barely had time to spread out a mat for her. So when he was establishing a monastery here in the States, first with Wat Phu, she was the official sponsor of the Gitin that raised a lot of the money that helped build Wat Phu. Then when she learned that he had come here, she had the Thai ambassador come and check out to make sure this was true. He showed up one day. Then soon after that, she volunteered that she would sponsor Gittin here. It was our very first Gittin. And then just a few days ago, she was the formal sponsor for this year's Gittin as well. But one of my favorite stories has more to do with one of John Fuang's students. He was an Air Force general. And the generals of the Air Force and the Navy, the admirals in the Navy, the generals in the Air Force and the Army, would take turns in being the king's bodyguard. This was the king's way of getting to know the different high-ranking members of the armed forces. And there was one period in the 50s when the roof of Wat Bawon was taken down and replaced with new tiles. And the king said that those old tiles have been chanted under for over 100 years. There would be good material to make amulets. So they were ground down, and there was an amulet for the king, and there's an amulet for the queen. Many of these were made. And the king and the queen would hand them out. And Chode, one of John Fuang's students, was an Air Force general. At that point, he wasn't yet one of John Fuang's students. Wanted one of the queen's amulets for his wife. And so when it was his turn to be bodyguard, he looked for an opportunity to talk to the queen, but there was no opportunity. So the next general came along when it was time to change the guard. And so Chode asked him if he could stay on again for the next 2 or 3 hours, see if he could have an opportunity to talk to the queen. So he did. Still had no opportunity. So the next general came along, and by this time it was getting into the nighttime. So Chode asked him if he could take his place as well, hoping that he would have some opportunity to talk to the queen that evening. Well, it turned out that the king wanted to go out and drive around Bangkok in his sports car, and the queen went along, and Chode found himself in the back seat. The car had 2 doors, and he'd pretty much given up hope. Sitting in the back seat, by the time he got out of the back seat, the king and the queen would have left the car, walked to the elevator that would take them up to the quarters, the palace. So he had given up hope. Well, they got to the palace, and instead of going straight to the elevator, the queen dawdled around. She must have sensed that something was up. So she looked at the flowers near the porch. Chode saw his chance. So he went up to her, got down on his knees, and asked her, please, could he have one of her amulets for his wife? The queen took one look at him. She took one look at the king. She said, don't you pity him? She reached into her pocketbook, pulled out an amulet, and gave it to Chode. So she sensed that something was going on. And she responded well. So when people have done good things and then they passed away, you want to think of their goodness and then offer some of your goodness to them, both as a gift to them and as a sign that goodness still lives on in the world. This is something we have to think about now as the world seems to be falling apart. You look all around the world and people seem to be just looking out for their own individual selfish interests. And it's good to think of a king and a queen who worked for the good of their country, sacrificed a lot, went through a lot of hardships. And so offer your goodness to them. You, of course, benefit. The world benefits. This is one of the good things about the practice of the Buddhist teachings. Everybody benefits. If you look for happiness and gain, status, praise, physical pleasures, that search for happiness leads to divisions. Because if you gain, other people have to lose. You gain status, other people have to lose. It creates divisions in society. But if you look for your happiness in terms of generosity, virtue, and meditation, nobody loses. Everybody gains. You gain in the goodness of generosity. Your mind becomes more expansive. And you have a sense of wealth, that you have more than enough to share. Knowing that what you've given up, you can work to replace, and then share more of that as well. So you gain, the people benefit from your generosity, of course they benefit as well, they gain as well. Same with virtue. You develop the perfection of virtue, that becomes your protection. At the same time, other people are protected from any greed, aversion, and delusion you might want to act on. So you protect them too. And then, of course, with meditation, as you focus directly on your intentions, you clean up your mind, you're a better person to be around, and you're a better person to be. So think of goodness as something that has no boundaries. It's what makes this human life worthwhile. Because this is the other part of reflection on what someone has passed away. Even someone of a very high rank is subject to aging, illness, and death. And when they leave this life, they have to leave all that behind. All the benefits of a high rank. And all they have is the goodness they've done. This is true for all of us. We see pictures of the Queen. When she was young, she was very pretty. As she got older, she got older. And now she's dead. So beauty, wealth, status, they don't protect you against aging, illness, and death. What protects you from suffering from these things is the goodness you do. So be inspired by the goodness of people in the past and do some goodness that is appropriate for you. And be happy to share it. The more you share, the more you gain. There's an image, it's not in the canon, but there's the image of lighting a candle. You can use your candle to light other people's candles, and everybody gets a brighter world as a result. Think of goodness as the light that lights everybody's world and inspires them to be good as well. That's when human life is worth living.